Welcome to the Hospitality Forward podcast with listeners in more than 160 countries worldwide.
My name is Hannah Lee. I am president and founder of Hannah Lee Communications, an award-winning global PR agency specialized in hospitality and travel.
And I'm Michael Ann Stendick, editor-in-chief of Hannah Lee Communications, as well as the award-winning co-author of The Japanese Art of the Cocktail and The Food and Beverage Writer. Helping the community has always been part of our agency's mission. We understand that a lot of business owners, bartenders, chefs, sommeliers, and others might not have the resources to hire a PR agency. We believe everyone has a story to share, so we created our podcast where our listeners can get to know leading reporters and writers and start building relationships.
Each week, these top journalists from around the globe share their practical advice on how hospitality and travel industry professionals can be featured in their stories.
In fact, one of our loyal listeners got featured in the New York Times after listening to our podcast and following our media guest tips. So, you could be next. In addition, we give away a copy of our agency's book, The Japanese Art of the Cocktail, to a listener who shares how our podcast helped them tell their story to the media. Simply email us at hello@hannahleecommunications.com, have Hospitality Forward in the subject line, and share the tip that you learned. And now, on with the show. In this episode, we're delighted to chat with Heather Clark, Assistant Managing Editor for Static Media's food brands, Tasting Table, MASH, Daily Meal, Food Republic, Chowhound, and Foodie. Previously, Heather was the Senior Editor for Put an Egg on It, and freelanced for various food and drink publications such as Edible New York and Yumly. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the show.
So nice to see you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the beginning of your career. You earned a BFA in Fine Arts at the School of Visual Arts. So how did you break into journalism?
I actually started out as an intern at this little tiny art and food magazine called Put an Egg on It. I was kind of drifting a little bit. I didn't really know what to do with my degree. And I had always been interested in cooking and baking since I was a kid. My family did it all together. So I thought that that was just a really easy way to combine the two. So I just emailed a bunch of like cool magazines that dealt with food and dealt with art. And they said, yes, come hang out. And it was just such a creative, open place to work. You know, they gave me a lot of freedom that I think that maybe a more traditional route wouldn't have given me. Unfortunately, during COVID, we stopped producing. It was also a physical magazine in addition to having online stuff. And from there, I just was freelance writing, editing projects, like one-off stuff. And during COVID, I started at Static editing full-time.
You are now Assistant Managing Editor of Static. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us what is Static and what media outlets are under its umbrella?
Static is really big. I wish I could give you an exact number, but I feel like it's constantly growing, which is exciting, but also maybe difficult to keep track of. For the food brands, we have six different websites: Chowhound, Tasting Table, Mashed, The Daily Meal, Foodie, and Food Republic. We also have websites in lifestyle like The List and Glam, Travel. They have Islands, House Digest, and then they also have entertainment brands like Looper and Slash Film. And they also have a wrestling one. I don't know that much about wrestling, but apparently it's quite large. It's called Wrestling Inc. People love it.
Wow, what a conglomerate.
Indeed. So at Static, you oversee several outlets focused on food and beverage. Can you tell us how each of them differs in terms of their audiences and articles?
I mean, there is a bit of overlap between them, but each one does have its own voice, its own tone. So Mashed is a bit gossipy. It talks a lot about food celebrities. It doesn't have to be a chef, a cook, whatever, for them to cover it. Tasting Table is a little more industry focused. I would say that it's a little more trendy, maybe a little younger, Whereas Food Republic, I think, is similar to Tasting Table, but perhaps a little more serious. If, you know, Margaritaville did a collaboration with Crocs, you know, that's something that Tasting Table might cover, whereas Food Republic would probably not do so. Chowhound is a relaunch. A lot of people loved Chowhound and were devastated when it went away. So we're trying to preserve a lot of that serious, scientific, historic, you know, a lot of the essence that made it so popular was that people could really trust and turn to it and knew that the things were going to dig in deep and it wasn't just going to be surface level. Daily Meal is a more general food news, maybe not for people who are like really want to get into the science of it. It's very approachable. It's great for home cooks who are kind of looking for a recipe that they're not going to feel maybe lost reading. Foodie is really new. So right now we're pretty focused on just general stuff. I think there's going to be a little bit of a travel kind of aspect to that. But it's not fully set yet just because it is, like I said, so new. And that website was started from scratch. You know, it needs time to find its voice still.
So what does your day-to-day look like?
It's a bit chaotic. So I do help with all six sites. And then each site has two different editors. So they'll have a news editor and a features editor in addition to their editorial team that just does literally editing. And then obviously all the freelance writers and a team that's dedicated to just pitching ideas and, you know, working with that. So for the most part, what I do is I help those two main editors do their jobs. You know, I answer questions. I do an overall quality control checks. You know, if anybody doesn't really know what to do about something, I do that. You know, so it's really just about making sure that everything runs smoothly, helping people do their jobs, and also making my boss's job a little easier because she oversees everything for all of them. And, you know, so it's a lot of just kind of coordinating. I also communicate with David, who is my coworker who lives in LA. We have the same position, but we have slightly different roles. He coordinates all of the reviews that we do. So I'll get an email and I'll say, hey, look at this product. Let's talk about it. Do we want to review it? And then if it's a yes, he'll find a writer and then I'll connect him to the person who's offering the sample or whatever. And he will make sure that the right writer, the right website is assigned to it. Same with interviews he does. He makes sure that they're moving, that they turn out properly, that the photos are good. You know, we try our hardest to make sure that I don't have to go to my boss. I try to make it so she can do all of the stuff that she's doing and she doesn't have to worry about the day-to-day stuff that everybody else is doing.
So let's circle back for a moment to the relaunch of Tasting Table, Food Republic, and Chowhound. I mean, we were absolutely delighted to see them come back and be reborn. So what's next for them?
For the future, we're just going to keep trying to build them up, you know, stay true to that voice that they all had. I want it to be accessible and compelling on like a more global level versus where they were quite local or quite specialized. Obviously, we are based in the U.S., so a lot of, especially our news content, is pretty focused on U.S. industry, food, stuff like that. But we do try to approach, at the very least, evergreen content on kind of considering a global audience so everybody can see something that they need, not feel pandered to, not feel like othered by it, you know, and just feel like, okay, great. Like, this is helpful to me. So hopefully we'll just keep developing those and keep growing them and, you know, keep, like I said, keep them within their voice, but also make sure that they are approachable and helpful to, you know, all audiences versus like a very specific one based in New York or LA or whatever.
We see a lot of great freelancers writing for your site. So how do you choose them and how do they get on your radar?
So for the most part, freelancers just apply. We're frequently hiring for at least one of the food sites. So we post the jobs on LinkedIn as well as Media Bistro. But all of our freelancers work regularly for us. That's how we are a bit different from other media brands and companies. We don't do like one-off pitches. Writers are obviously welcome to pitch anything they like to once they're part of the team, part of the family. But everybody works regularly. I do think it's also a really nice thing. It's a nice aspect of it because you know that you can trust that you're going to get work at Static. If you're a news writer, generally they work hourly. So you know you're going to have at least 10 hours per week. The features writers are per word, but we generally request like 2 articles per week. So everyone kind of knows that they can really count on that paycheck. And I started out freelancing and I can say that they pay on time, which is really nice.
So, you know, a lot of stories by you and your colleagues quote industry experts like bartenders and chefs. How do you go about identifying and selecting them?
It's a mix of things. Sometimes the writers just know someone who is respected in the industry and they want to talk to. Sometimes the writers will pitch ideas with an expert in mind. Some are found through different PR agencies. You know, we know quite a few that work with chefs, bartenders, different brands, you know. So we'll reach out to them and we'll say, hey, we want to write about this. Do you have someone who has like a lot of expertise in this niche topic or has this dish on their menu or something like that? Some of it is just people that we know or places that we admire, you know. There's a very tiny cheese shop in the East Village by me. Called Barnyard, and we needed a cheese pro. And I was like, I'm just going to walk over and see if they're interested. You know, they're knowledgeable. They've been in business for so long, you know, and it's definitely a combination of things between people emailing us, us emailing people, us literally face to face meeting people and just being like, hey, would you be interested in kind of like being on our roster, so to speak? And then once we have some content that we're looking for someone with specific expertise or knowledge on, we'll reach out and say like, hey, do you want to answer this? And obviously people can say no, and we appreciate that. And we'll reach out another time.
You know, our listeners, they are all experts in bartending, cooking, and wine. So for those who don't have a working relationship with you yet, what do they need to send to you to be on your expert roster?
I would say just some information about them. We generally don't work off pitches from other people. It's generally all of the content, all of the ideas are created from the inside. That's not to say never, but, you know, I would say it's best just, you know, a link to your website, some basic info, just kind of detailing what the expertise is and what you'd like to do with us or for us. And then from there, we would look at that, consider it. And then we would say like, oh yeah, definitely. And I would introduce you to the person who does all the outreach for us for that. Or we just be like, hey, sorry. Like, you know, we have a lot of experts for this specific topic or what have you, you know.
So why don't we talk a little bit about some of your recent work? You had a tasting table article on one of our favorite Portland companies, Salt and Straw, teaming up with Taco Bell to revive its Choco Taco. It's really fascinating how Taco Bell's CEO, you know, literally cold called Salt and Straw's Tyler Malik, which led to a beautiful partnership. So in addition to creative collaborations and partnerships, what other trends are you seeing in the food industry?
I feel like people are kind of focusing on a little bit more on the classics, you know. A question I was asking people on this trip I was on recently was what they think the next cocktail trend was going to be. And almost everybody mentioned a classic cocktail. And I personally think it's going to be the Manhattan. And it makes perfect sense because people are still into like bourbon. But I think they really are craving those classics. And I know I personally, when it's like warm out, I've weirdly been craving like rum punch, which is like such an old, like not old school, but you know, it's such a classic like cocktail. I think it has to do with being an election year too. I like read somewhere like years ago that like during election years, people do like kind of focus on things that are like comfortable and familiar. So yeah, I definitely think that's going to continue to be a thing, you know, and trending. You know, I know for a while, especially with my generation, I'm a millennial. It was kind of like uncool to be into like brands. But I think that with like Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they're like very much into it. So I think that's going to kind of continue. I love merch. I wear it all the time. I realize I didn't even like consciously start doing it, but it's like now I look at my closet and I'm like, I have so many like hats with like a logo on them. I have so many t-shirts. A lot of them are local businesses around me that I just like and wanted to support. But I do think that that's also something that, there's kind of like an evening of like the playing field as to what it means to be cool. You know, it doesn't have to be some super tiny niche thing. But it also doesn't have to be some mega corporation. You know, people are starting to be like, yeah, I like to go to Applebee's and I also like to go to fine dining and do a prefix menu with the wine pairings. And like, you can like those two things because they fill different aspects of your life and what you're looking for. You know, it's fine to like get French fries at McDonald's and also like, you know, drink little, like a pet nat or whatever. And it's like, you know, you can have both. You don't have to choose one. It's no longer like seen as like selling out or being uncool just because you want different things.
So, Heather, we had such a pleasure of hosting you at some of our agency's press events, including the Manhattan Variation event. So, what do you think that chefs, bartenders, and spirits brand should do more to get you to attend their event?
Yeah, there's just so many things that go into consideration. I think just having fun, you know, obviously I love like a very formal, you know, dinner type situation. Those are great, definitely. And there's a time and place for them. But also it's like nice to just be like, hey, we're going to have like a cocktail thing. You want to come? So I think just like having a fun thing and not having it be like too serious and also not having it be like weirdly promotional. I don't know. Sometimes it's like too promotional and too... And I'm just like, well, if I don't want the thing that you're like advertising or whatever that you want me to post about, that you want me to talk about, that you want me to try, if I'm not personally interested in it, I probably won't go.
So what's the best way to initiate a working relationship with you for our listeners? Any suggestions for breaking the ice or any do's and don'ts?
I would say just email me, honestly. I do try to respond to everything if I can. You know, don't be afraid to follow up. If I say no to something, don't necessarily be afraid to pitch again, as long as it's relevant to the industry that I work in. While I can absolutely connect someone to one of the other static brands, if they are looking for an introduction or something like that, if it's not related to food, drink, that industry, we're not really going to cover it. But yeah, you know, just send me an email. And then if I don't respond, follow up and be like, hey, just checking in. You know, because again, not everything will work out. Not everything is a good fit. But I do try to consider everything that comes across my plate because I understand that this is hard.
Yeah, you've been absolutely a pleasure to work with, and you've been so thoughtful about how you respond to our email. So we appreciate how you do your work.
It means a lot to
us. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's nice. Well, you know, and I mean, it's like a two-way street, you know, without people who want to connect with me, I would have nothing to, you know, we'd constantly be reporting on other people reporting on things, you know.
So I think it's a mutually, you know, respectful, mutually beneficial relationship when it comes to journalists and the newsmakers or the PR professionals, you know. So it's a beautiful relationship.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, yeah.
So when our listeners in the hospitality industry are ready to pitch their stories via email, is there anything that they should keep in mind for headline or the length of the email, or should they attach the photo or not? What would be the like a simple practical tips?
I would say in the email for the subject, make it very specific about what you are and what you're looking for. I would keep the email itself fairly short, but include links to previous work, if that makes sense, or your website, or something like that. You know, I no longer do the hiring for our writers, but there was a portion of time where I was doing that. And when there weren't links to the articles, I was like, well, I don't know whether or not you can write. So I don't really want to email you and then find out that you can't write or you have no experience or, you know. So yeah, definitely include links, not too long. You know, like I said, most of our ideas come from inside. So I don't really necessarily want pitches, just because we probably won't do anything with them, most likely. You know, anyone who wants to write for us really should just apply online and go that way. But, you know, people who want to do expert stuff, people who want us to check out their product, that kind of thing, an email with what the thing is that they want in the subject line and a link to a website, a Instagram page, a, you know, a link cover, like whatever makes sense for the thing that they want me to be aware of.
That's good advice. So Heather, we call our podcast Hospitality Forward because we celebrate individuals and companies that are making an impact through innovation. Is there anyone or any organization that you'd like to shout out for being innovative?
I went to the Bahamas Wine and Food Bus, and I do really appreciate that. I have been to the New York one a couple times, and I've heard good things about all the others. This was only the second year for the Bahamas one. And I do really appreciate how they have kind of embraced wherever it is, because the New York one feels very New York. It's a lot of New York chefs, a lot of New York restaurants, a lot of New York companies. And I kind of just assumed that's exactly how the Bahamas one would be. And it was actually, like I said, it was a lot of local businesses. So I just think that that's really great because it's very easy to just do the same thing. And it is very hard to do something that's successful, but unique. And, you know, like I said, honoring that. Otherwise, there's like a lot of really cool, smaller, things that I'm interested in, you know. I have friends who, they make wine and cider in Long Island, but they forage all of the ingredients themselves. And it's called Floral Terrains. And it's just like some of the most unique wine that I've had in a really long time. And I do think that it's so cool that it's so local in that sense. And the production, like each bottle, or maybe not bottle, but each like brew is like very unique. It's very different. You're not going to get the same thing from, you know, sometimes even bottle to bottle, you know, because it's the way that they're doing it is like they're really just relying on like old school techniques and just like trusting the process. And it's just like, I love that kind of like small, like local thing where it's just like something really special that's really cool and like fun.
Looking ahead, what country is on your bucket list to visit and why?
I would really like to go. I want to go to Japan. There's like these little monkeys that hang out in like a hot spring in the snow. And they're so cute. I really want to see them. They're just adorable. And there's also, I can't remember where it was. But there's like a town where they do like, they do like tempura maple leaves that I'm just like fascinated. I'm like, that must be so good. And I really love, really love to taste them. And then obviously Japanese food is like incredible. And just everything seems really lovely there, but I'd love to see like the countryside, a little bit there in addition to obviously like Tokyo or whatever. Most probably the place I'll be going back next, like outside of the US, is Naples in Italy. I have a friend who lives there. And I just like, I love it there. It's super fun, really like a bit wild, you know. It's just such a lovely experience every time I go. The food is incredible. Everything's affordable. It's really close to like, God, the beaches are just like gorgeous. And it's just a really fun place to be.
We'll have to put it on our itinerary.
Or our bucket list.
So what's your favorite cocktail and why? And who do you like to share it with?
I'm not really sure if I have a favorite cocktail. It definitely depends on the situation. I would say the cocktail I drink most is just a plain classic gin and tonic. It's probably what I make at home the most frequently. If I'm out and kind of like not at a bar that I know is known for a specific thing like tiki or whatever, I'll probably just get a gin and tonic. I feel like it's just really hard to mess up. And it's like classic. It's crisp. It's reliable, you know? And sharing it, probably my girlfriend. You know, I love, one of my favorite things to do on like a warm day is like, there's this dive bar by us called Tile Bar. It's really small, but they have seats and they're like in the sun. And I just love to go there and I read a book and I just like drink a gin and tonic and just hang out. And it's so nice when you're with someone that you can kind of be with, but not like, you don't even have to talk. You can just be together, you know?
Very sweet. Well, Heather, before we wrap up, what is the best way for our listeners to reach you?
They could email me. They could also message me if they like on Instagram or on TikTok. For like professional things, definitely email me at my work email, heather@static.com. So it's just heather@static.com. But if they just want to like talk to me or whatever, they could always reach out on social media. I do try to respond to those a lot, you know. My handle on TikTok, Instagram, etc. is Heather Elaine Clark. Elaine is my middle name. It's HEATHERALAYNECLARK. And then yeah, TikTok is where I do more of the like, not necessarily professional stuff, because to be totally honest, I only started doing it for like, because my mom wanted to see what I was up to. But like, that's where I put all of that kind of content. Whereas my Instagram is much more personal. So if you want to send me DMs about my cat, she's great. There's a lot of photos of cats and me at the beach and, you know, maybe food I ate recently.
Well, Heather, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Of course.
And it was so much fun, and can't wait to see you again and share a gin and tonic together.
Yeah.
Or two.
Yes. It's always lovely to see you.
Oh, same here.
Now that was a fun chat with Heather. Now that you know what Heather is looking for, please feel free to reach out to her and introduce yourself. And don't forget to mention that you heard her on our Hospitality Forward podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with your friends and colleagues. And be sure to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your favorite shows. Also, for all media guests to date, you can find their information and episodes on our agency's website, www.hanaleecommunications.com.
Until then, join us as we move hospitality forward together.